From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. As always, I'm Justin Spears, my man sitting across the way, Dominic Pachaco.
What's going on?
Dominic, how was your 4th of July?
That was nice. Laid back. I was in the newsroom for most of it, so I got to watch some baseball in the morning, so that was nice.
Got your... I tweeted this yesterday. I got my annual Joey Chestnut is the go to eating hot dogs day.
Unbelievable. 74 this time?
Yeah, which is crazy. And they calculated all of the calories from how many hot dogs that he ate. Mm-hmm. And
it was carbs.
It was carbs, yes.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going with this.
And it was like, I think it was like over 2,000 carbs or something.
The tweet I saw was that, I think it was you might have seen calories then, because calories has to be absurd. But carbs, I saw a tweet for all of the hot dogs he ate, it was 1,776 carbs, which is 1776. I ate 74 hot dogs, so 7-4, 4th of July. It all lines up. I don't know. There might be some conspiracy theories out here. It might be fixed in Joey Chestnut's favor, but...
The most American stat line ever.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what the tweet was. That's exactly what the tweet was. The guy's just phenomenal.
All right. Well, if you're listening to this podcast, you're listening to it via the Wildcaster app or Tucson.com or Apple Podcast. Dom, NBA has been... a very interesting time this time of year, because it's always free agency, trade talks are heating up.
LeBron James.
And it's all about where is LeBron James heading. On July 1st, wasn't at 9 p.m. Eastern time, it was actually on July 1st, right around mid-afternoon, it was right around 4:45 here in Tucson.
I know you know this all too well.
And that's when it broke that LeBron James was heading to the Los Angeles Lakers. And me being a diehard Lakers fan, I was jumping for joy. I was running around in the streets. I was actually at a Starbucks. I was doing some work. I was just finishing up working at the Tucson Summer Pro League. And I knew how to get some work done for here. So I was like, okay, let me find the closest Starbucks so I can pull over, get some work done. And it worked out perfectly, because as soon as I got everything all set up, that's when the news broke. And I went into my car, made a couple Snapchat videos to show my excitement. I was happy for a good 22 hours. And then... Your Golden State Warriors.
Dun, dun, dun.
They added...
You're defending two-time world champion Golden State Warriors. They're just relentless. I mean, Bob Myers... That guy deserves all the credit in the world. He's one of the top executives in sports, if you ask me. But, I mean, this team he's assembled and been able to hold together, all the personalities on this team. I mean, you're talking about a team now with Draymond Green, DeMarcus Cousins, Kevin Durant, and, I mean, Clay and Curry have always been unselfish. But, I mean, you got a lot of big marquee names on this team, a lot of personalities, and they all buy into it. Whatever Bob Myers is feeding these guys for breakfast, they love it, because... Yeah. They've all meshed, and it'll be interesting to see how DeMarcus Cousins fits next year, but man, they're going to be tough to beat once he's on the floor.
My biggest concern is how is he going to play, because they stretch the floor a lot. Mm-hmm. And he's a dominant low post guy who can hit outside shots every now and then, but how are they going to be able to stretch the floor with him? I think that'll be pretty interesting to see how it all unravels. But great basketball minds always work together, and while people have... criticized DeMarcus Cousins because of his attitude problems. Again, you have to remember he was playing, again, no disrespect because I know your brother works for them, but the Sacramento Kings have been a very wishy-washy franchise in terms of how they treat their players and how the players like playing in Sacramento. And then he went to New Orleans and you never heard anything about that, the attitude problems. Mm-hmm. So going to a championship culture like the Golden State Warriors, I think will be really good for him, because not only will he be in a championship franchise, but he gets to be around all these selfless minds. And for a guy that's coming off of an Achilles injury, maybe this is exactly what DeMarcus Cousins needed.
Well, you go back to it. I mean, it's all about the selfless minds. I mean, if Cousins, obviously the worry about him is, okay, how is his ego and Draymond Green's ego going to bash together on the court at the same time? playing underneath the basket. And it's a concern. But when you look at what DeMarcus Cousins did, he, I mean, allegedly didn't get any major offers from other teams. And he comes in on a $5.3 million contract with the Warriors. He doesn't have room to have that big of an ego anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, he seems very, I mean, just watching the video of him finding out he was a Warrior, signing the contract.
Bada boo, bada bang.
Steph Curry's tweet that night. I mean, he sounds like he's buying into what the Warriors are feeding him. And that's pretty much a championship.
Yeah.
I mean, so, look, it's easy for us to sit here and go, okay, well, you're on one of the best teams in the league. Obviously, you're going to win a championship. What do you have to complain about? You're making $5 million. And that's really the reality of it now. I mean, obviously, you go on a team as one of the best centers in the league, if not the best center in all of basketball just a couple years ago, and you put him on a team with all these other superstars, and you don't know how that's going to go. But, I mean, everyone on the Warriors has bought into it. Kevin Durant bought into it really well. He's taken several pay cuts since he's been with Golden State in just a few short years. Took one to get DeMarcus Cousins on the team. Mm-hmm. And Cousins seems down for it. So, I mean, he's going to fit in with all these selfless guys, and I think it'll be interesting to see. But one thing I like about Cousins, on the court at the same time as Draymond Green, he's going to be able to push the ball up to court as effectively as Green, if not better. So he's going to bring that whole other dimension that the Warriors already have. He's going to make it that much better.
When the news officially broke that DeMarcus Cousins was going to the Golden State Warriors, a part of me thought that Cousins is going to back out or the NBA is going to find a deal, because I was upset. The fact that David Stern vetoed the Chris Paul trade to send him to the Lakers, that was vetoed because they didn't want to team him up with Kobe Bryant. They felt that was unfair.
They were NBA owned, though.
And that's another thing that I had to finally realize was that was a trade. Free agency. Mm-hmm. Free. That's a key word.
Yep.
Free right there. If you somehow interfere with free agency, then that's where players look at Adam Silver and be like, okay, man. And so I was upset at first, but then I finally took a big deep breath, relaxed, and realized, well, this is the NBA.
It is what it is.
And I saw a tweet. This will be my last remark about the DeMarcus Cousins free agency going to the Warriors. But I saw a tweet that says, all these NBA fans are so upset about Cousins going to the Warriors, but they have no problem watching Team USA smack everybody in the Olympics by eight points.
That is an incredible point. I never even thought about that. I mean, yeah, where are we? We were sitting here for the Olympics when we have all the best players in the world on playing for their respective countries. I mean, is Team USA not? I mean, they're better than the Warriors, right? I guess it's about the same right now. They're the same starting five, but right. I mean, the one thing I want to look at here, Mark Stein did some brilliant work, obviously, with the whole DeMarcus Cousins thing and not getting contract offers from other teams. But the timeline that I found interesting is that the Pelicans were reportedly, again, this is all via Mark Stein of ESPN. He was apparently, sorry, is he ESPN? I guess he is ESPN. I thought it was Yahoo. He's New York Times. Mark Stein does it all. But the Pelicans were reportedly interested in bringing back DeMarcus Cousins. They had talked about engaged in talks during the year, and after the season, they wanted to bring him back. They had offered him a couple deals. I don't know if they offered him. They discussed a couple multi-year $20 million deals with DeMarcus Cousins. They didn't go through, obviously. The Lakers were reportedly discussing a contract with him on Monday night after they signed Rajon Rondo. The Lakers had $5.6 million to play with after they signed Rondo. DeMarcus Cousins signed with the Warriors for $5.3, so they easily could have done it. But what's interesting here is the Lakers essentially cleared the way for Cousins to go to the Warriors, because they had $5.6 to play with, signed Rondo, and obviously, if the Lakers know that where DeMarcus Cousins is going to go, if they don't sign him, they sign him instantly, right?
Yeah.
If you know he's going to the Warriors, you go, okay, well, we got to block that. They sign him. Obviously, this came out of left field. Nobody in the NBA knew. I don't know if there's another executive out there that knew what Bob Myers was doing. But so Lakers reportedly fall through with Cousins. That's not going to happen. But the interesting part then is that Cousins goes and signs with the Warriors right after that for $5.3 million. So it sounds like if the Lakers would have offered him, there's a very good chance he could have gone there. The Pelicans could have offered him, and there's a good chance he could have ended up there. For whatever reason, that didn't work out. But it's interesting to see how it all played out, kind of how the Rondo domino fell, and then they had that little cap space to go sign DeMarcus Cousins, but he wasn't on the radar for anyone.
Yep.
He wasn't on the radar. So, again, I mean...
I just didn't think he would go to the Warriors, man.
Oh, no one did. No one did. One of my friends sent me a text and said, I guess the LA-Bay Area rivalry just got a whole lot more interesting. I'm going, what happened now? Who the Lakers signed? Like, what's going on? And then I go look at Twitter and DeMarcus Cousins all over my timeline. So I think, I think any NBA executive would have tried to go after Cousins if they knew he was going to sign with the Warriors. But just the way it all worked out with the Lakers and that cap space they had with Rondo, and then right after, DeMarcus Cousins calls up Bob Myers. And that's what was interesting, too, is it wasn't Bob Myers reaching out to Cousins. It was Cousins reaching out to the Warriors going, hey, I haven't got any offers yet. What's going on? So... Of course, if you're Bob Myers, you know, for $5 million, he's on the same contract that Swaggy P signed a year ago. Can you believe that? He's DeMarcus Cousins, one of the best centers, one of the perennial best players in the league, is on the same exact contract that Nick Young signed a year ago with the Warriors.
The guy that thinks the NBA should legalize cocaine. God, what a time. What a time.
Moving on. Avoiding the cocaine rhetoric on this podcast.
Another part of the summer that makes NBA a great time is NBA Summer League. And Dom, several Wildcats, five to be exact, are playing in Summer League. We have DeAndre Ayton, Chance Comanche, Raleigh Alkins, Alonzo Trier, and Kobe Simmons. Kobe Simmons has already been playing a few games because the NBA Summer League format is a little bit weird. They do about, six teams that play in Sacramento and Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm. Which are, I know the Sacramento one this year is new. I don't know if the Salt Lake City one is.
Or
are they both?
Salt Lake City has always been in play.
Okay.
Sacramento's the new one.
Okay, right.
And the Kings, of course, have been a part of it. Mm-hmm. The Lakers have been playing, coached by Miles Simon. Mm-hmm. They've been in Sacramento. But Kobe Simmons and the Grizzlies have been playing in Salt Lake City. And Kobe has actually been very impressive. He had a couple 20-point performances in the first couple games. The first one, he had 21 points. And then the second one, he had 20 points, which was tied for not game high, but a team high during that day. And he's not facilitating the ball as much. He didn't have any assists in the second game, but the first game, he had 3 assists. But Kobe has really been impressive when it comes to scoring the ball. Mm-hmm. And we always thought he could do that at Arizona, but you felt like he was kind of held back a little bit, just especially towards the latter part of the year because he wasn't getting as much playing time because Alonzo Trier was back. They found a new groove, and Kobe Simmons just kind of got pushed to the side. And remember when everybody thought he was absolutely nuts for bouncing a year early mm-hmm. to go to the NBA?
Mm-hmm. Which I still might.
Which, I mean, it's still very valuable considering mm-hmm. he played most of last year in the G League. Mm-hmm. But the last 30 games of the season, he was averaging 16 points a game for the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. And now this year, back-to-back 20-point games, granted it is Summer League, it's promising. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's like the Grizzlies have struck gold with Kobe Simmons, but it is very promising.
It is, and through one half Thursday night, he had 8 points and 2 assists, so he's still contributing, and look, Kobe Simmons is a guy where he is going to be as valuable as he is shooting the ball. So if he can score and get to the rim or make those outside shots, you're going to value him on an NBA team. But it's when he's streaky. Not everyone can be streaky like Steph Curry and make a living in the NBA. Kobe Simmons isn't the next Steph Curry. I hate to break it. He's a good shooter. He's not Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. So you look at him, and he's going to have to find success elsewhere on the floor. He's going to have to be able to do other things. Can he score and be a sustainable scorer? Probably, but he's going to have to make his living in the NBA doing something else. And I think that's what I kind of look at. If he stayed another year or two at Arizona, what other traits and aspects to his game would have he been able to add? Yeah. I think he would have been a better facilitator on the floor. He might have had, his handles have always been okay, but that's what he is. He's a pure scorer right now, and it's hard to make a living like that in the NBA.
Because there's so many of them.
Right, there's so many of them, and they're all so good. So yeah. Kobe Simmons has got to take that next step. He did it well at the end of last year with the Grizzlies. Kind of, see, that's a thing. It was kind of in garbage time of the NBA season, if that's a thing. I put it in air quotes.
Full tank the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you're bringing up Kobe Simmons in the last 30 games for a reason. But look, he's been really impressive the first few games in Summer League this year. And granted, like you said, it is Summer League. But if he keeps it up and shows that he can be an asset on the floor when he's not scoring, I mean, if he has an off-night shooting, what can Kobe Simmons bring to you on a basketball court? I think that's the question he needs to answer to take that next step and sign a contract with the Grizzlies or any NBA team moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Another Wildcat that I'm really curious to see how they do in NBA Summer League, of course, DeAndre Ayton, because he's got his debut with the Suns, mm-hmm. and we get to see Ayton dominate guys that
are in the Summer League.
That are in the Summer League, like he was at Arizona.
Right.
So, again, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about DeAndre Ayton because we already know what is going to happen with him. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, we have a full schedule of former Wildcats and who they're playing, key opponents that they're playing against that's available on the Wildcaster app at Tucson.com. But Ayton's first game is against the Mavericks on Friday, July 6th at 6:30 p.m. Tucson time.
A Trae Young?
Mavericks. He's playing for the Hawks now.
Right.
They did that trade.
Yeah, okay.
Luka Doncic, though.
Doncic, okay, there we go.
Who was rumored to be a possible target for the Suns. He will be playing in Summer League for the Mavericks. So that will be Ayton's opening opponent. Again, Doncic and Ayton don't play the same position, so you're very...
Just
rarely
two big names if
them.
You want to watch that
two
game.
Two big
it's
names.
On.
But another matchup that I'm looking forward to seeing, Dom, is Saturday, July 7th, against the Sacramento Kings. Now that is a matchup you'll all want to be glued to the TV for because it's the Puma guys.
Marvin Bagley.
And DeAndre Ayton, the two Puma signees going up against each other.
By the way, Puma's gear, I wasn't huge on it at first, but I've seen some pictures of the shoes Ayton's been wearing in the last few days, and I kind of like it. Go check it out. Find it on Twitter.
Yeah,
just go search
like
Puma shoes, DeAndre Ayton.
With
yeah,
yellow and
yeah, they're pretty flashy. I don't know. Sorry, I don't want to get off track.
Here. I wouldn't wear them.
Right, I wouldn't wear them, but I mean, they're fun to look at. But yeah, no, that matchup with Bagley is going to be really fun. Obviously, their history going back to Hillcrest Prep and Phoenix playing together. They talked very highly of each other going through the NBA draft. That's going to be a good game. Seeing how Bagley's played pretty well with the Kings in the first few games over in Sacramento. So,
dunked on my guy, Mo Wagner.
Right.
Put him on a poster. Dom, I'm looking down the list here. You know, Alonzo Trier, he's got games against the Atlanta Hawks on mm-hmm. Saturday. That'll be
there's
against Trae Young right there. Against the Utah Jazz on
which again,
the 8th against Grayson Allen.
We talk about Kobe Simmons and his scoring ability. I think that's huge for Trier. I mean, if you put him up against a guy like Trae Young head-to-head, both pretty pure scorers, but Trier can get to the basket a little bit better.
Yeah.
Again, Trier's that streaky guy from outside, but if he works the ball inside and get through the lane in the at the NBA level, then that's how he's going to make his bread.
Oh, another Wildcat I forgot that is in NBA Summer League is Kadeem Allen.
Kadeem.
Playing for the Boston Celtics.
Played for the Maine Red Claws last year. Had a good year for him.
46 points in a game. Mm-hmm. That is a career high for him. I think he was the third most in franchise history. And he was a two-way deal with the Red Claws / Celtics. So he got a lot of time as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And the Celtics, again, are so loaded with guards. There was no garbage time like Kobe Simmons
right.
got because they were
right.
the number one team in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. But during the season when players got hurt.
Who did he start for?
It was...
They were shuffling around
starters
with injuries.
It was like
March
or April or something like that. And there was a few players that got hurt. Mm-hmm. I think Marcus Smart was hurt. Terry Rozier was hurt for a little bit. Okay. So they brought him up for a week. He started two games, I believe it was. But again, Kadeem Allen, those two-way contracts are kind of weird. And Alonzo Trier just signed a two-way mm-hmm. contract with the Knicks. You can only spend 45 days at a time with your team. Most, other than that, you're going to be spent with the G League.
Mm-hmm.
But your base salary is $75,000, which I would take. If I'm a 19, 20-year-old kid coming
right.
out of college, I take that
undrafted.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I take that in a heartbeat. But with the amount of games that you make with or play with your professional team, the NBA team, you can make up to $385,000.
Mm-hmm.
Make it six figures as a player in your early 20s.
Who left early, went undrafted.
Went undrafted, guys like Kobe Simmons, mm-hmm. even Alonzo Trier. That's money, and you can prove your worth, and you can work your way to a possible contract.
Right, and that's the whole thing with the two-way deals. Is it, you know, it gives the team a flexibility to go stick a guy in the G League or bring him up periodically throughout the year, and it's essentially a tryout. Alonzo Trier needs to go out and prove his worth, and that's what gets him the contract. But yeah, a lot of big names, former Wildcats participating in Summer League. Again, you can find that full schedule. On Twitter, it should be pinned to the top of the Wildcaster page on Twitter right now. Follow him at the Wildcaster. It's also online and on the website. Justin, one more thing before we go here. We talked the last podcast a little bit about Chase Jeter and his worth to the Wildcats next year. I think you and I went as far as dubbing him the most valuable Wildcat on the team next year.
Yes.
And I don't think that's a stretch. I feel pretty confident in saying that right now and leading up to the season. Opening night, he will probably be the most valuable Wildcat. But one thing we haven't talked a lot about is who is the most valuable incoming transfer or just incoming Wildcat, so player that hasn't been on the team previously. Who do you got?
Oh, man, it's tough because it's a mix between grad transfers and just regular high school recruits.
A lot of them who aren't five-star guys like the Arizona's used to, or like Brandon Williams. I mean, a lot of underrated, I mean, I don't want to say underrated, we don't know yet, but a lot of unknown recruits who are coming in.
Omar Tielemans, he mm-hmm. is the wild card. I'm curious to see how he pans out. But looking across the board, I'm going to have to say that veteranship is going to be the bread and butter for Arizona this year. So it's Chase Jeter. He played a couple years at Duke. Transfer over, he's going to be a veteran. Emmanuel Acott, he played a year, but he's been on the team, yeah. So he knows the system. I'm going to go ahead and say Ryan Luther, the grad transfer from Pitt. He's a power forward. He's 6'9". He averaged a double-double at Pitt before he broke his foot. That's my biggest question mark, is can he stay healthy? Can the foot stay healthy?
Mm-hmm.
If he is healthy, he might be Arizona's best player. Might be. He has a potential to be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he was averaging a double-double in the ACC,
mm-hmm.
which, if you ask me, I think that's very impressive. He's got a nice shot to him. He's not a really consistent three-point shooter, more of a long two guy. But if you have a power forward that can hit the mid-range jumper and get it done in the post, I think that's going to be really awesome. And the fact that he's from Pittsburgh, Sean Miller's alma mater, they got that connection going on with them. And he's from the city of Pittsburgh, grew up 20 minutes away from where Sean Miller grew up at. Talk about TJ McConnell having that nice little connection with Miller. Miller and McConnell might have a better relationship because they're both point guards, mm-hmm. but I think Miller's going to rely on this guy from day one. It's probably going to be beneficial for them considering they don't have a lot of experience.
Well, you got to figure he has that defensive grit, too,
that's
Sean Miller likes from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, look, the argument for Ryan Luther in my eyes is, look who the power four. He's likely going to be starting at the four, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Who started at four last year for Arizona? So he's got big shoes to fill.
Number one pick in the draft.
Exactly. I mean, Ryan Luther will not be the number one pick in the draft in 2019. That is the coldest of takes I think we've ever had on this podcast. But look, he has big shoes to fill, and he's going to step in and need to contribute right away because, Arizona lacks leadership this year. You look at kind of that senior leadership they've really always had. I mean, even last year you had guys like PJC who had been on the team for a while, Dusan Ristić who had been on the team for a while. You don't have that this year. I mean, the longest tenured cat is going to be a bunch of guys who have been here who are going into their second year here. Dylan Smith. Yeah, I mean, is there anyone who has played over two seasons with the Wildcat? Over a season. So, look, this is going to be a fresh team. Ryan Luther has some experience more at the college level than really anyone else on the team. So, Ryan Luther is going to be a big name. The other guy you said, I like Tielemans a lot. One you didn't mention was Devonair Dutry. When they signed him, I was really excited. He's a combo guard. Kind of reminds me, we just talked about him, and I know he didn't have a great career at Arizona, but he kind of reminds me of a Kobe Simmons-type player.
I can see that.
I guess Kobe Simmons had a lot of hype coming into Arizona, and he didn't really pan out, so we'll see what happens with Dutry in this kind of system.
Yeah.
Dutry's going to have a lot more playing time because he doesn't have as many guys to beat out in front of him. So if Dutrieu has a good preseason, he's going to be on the court early. But the one guy that stands out to me who's going to be the floor general for the Wildcats this year and can bring that leadership, now obviously not senior leadership, but Sean Miller's going to rely on him to be kind of the head of this team, is Brandon Williams. He's going to come in. Arizona is pretty thinly stretched at the point guard. I mean, you look at Justin Coleman.
Alex Barcelo.
Yeah, Coleman and Barcelo. Again, two guys not with a ton of experience. Obviously, Coleman playing and transferring this year. But look, Barcelo didn't play a lot. He's been under Sean Miller's system for a year. He's kind of a local kid, so that all bodes well for him. But Brandon Williams is going to be the starting point guard from day one. He's replacing Parker Jackson Cartwright, who replaced TJ McConnell. Look, point guard is the most valuable position at Arizona for Sean Miller and for teams before Sean Miller. They'll go as far as their point guard goes, and I don't think that wavers this year. I think they're going, look, as good as Chase Jeter might be, as good as guys like Dylan Smith and Brandon Randolph and Emmanuel Acott might be, I think Brandon Williams is going to be the guy. It's interesting this year because they didn't have a full class. They had a scholarship left to work with that they're not going to use. They're not deep, particularly deep at any one position. I think they're pretty deep inside. After you go
deep on the wings.
Right. Mostly. I mean, you go through Acott, Ira Lee, and Chase Jeter, and then Ryan Luther, and you go, okay, now what? So you got, I mean, essentially two guys you can throw at every position. But that's just looking at it now. I mean, that's in the middle of July. We're analyzing Arizona basketball right now, where they're going to be. You don't know which one of these guys. Look, all of these guys probably aren't going to figure into the rotation this year. We know how short Sean Miller likes to keep his rotation. It's usually not more than seven guys.
Yeah.
So you're okay. Out of all these guys we named, pick seven of them. They're not going to be deep at every position, especially compared to years past. And I think Brandon Williams is going to have to step up and be that guy to kind of ring it all together.
Yeah. One person that should be a part of this discussion, but is it because he decided to reclassify?
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel Acott.
Yep.
Remember, he was supposed to be part of the 2018 recruiting class, but he reclassified, got a whole another year under his belt, and he started. I don't even think he started a game. He always came off the bench because if it was Alonzo Trier getting hurt or Raleigh Alkins getting hurt. It was always Dylan Smith.
And even Brian Randolph came in a couple games too, yeah.
And those two guys were always the ones that started. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Acott was the three that came off the bench. Now Acott is going to be the starting small forward for this team.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have big shoes to fill. But that 1 year playing under all of those guys, it was really beneficial. I'm not classifying him as a newcomer because he already played a year, but technically his age and his youthfulness – he's still a newcomer in my eyes. So
the one thing you touched on briefly, and we talked about it before we came on air here, is who's going to be the number two for the Wildcats this year? Who's going to start at shooting guard? You have pretty much between Dylan Smith and Brandon Randolph. I think Dutrieu's going to get some minutes there if he pans out the way Sean Miller wants him to. But I look at Dylan Smith, and he was a hot shooter last year. He didn't really get the credit he deserved because he wasn't always as consistent. We talk about shooters and can you keep it going, and is your streaky shooting going to be a liability? Look, Dylan Smith's streaky shooting might be a liability, but when he was in the game consistently last year, aside from a few early games early in the season, you look at what he did in the Pac-12. Every time he played 20 minutes or more, Cal, he played 27 minutes, finished with 14 points, went 4-4 from beyond the arc. Colorado, he played 34 minutes, had 13 points, 3-6 from beyond the arc, 4-8 from the floor. You look at him later in the year against Oregon. At Oregon in that overtime loss with Sean Miller on the bench, DeAndre Ayton fired up, a very emotional game for Arizona. He played 25 minutes, went 4-5 from the floor, 3-4 from 3, and scored 11 points. He contributes, and when he gets going, it's hard to slow him down. And I think that's what's interesting about looking at his stats last year. Sure, he might not have the best numbers, he might not be the most efficient guy, but when he's on the court for extended periods of time, he looked really good. So if he starts this year, I think that's going to be something to look at. He might surpass Chase Jeter as the most valuable Wildcat as the season wears on. But yeah, Dylan Smith, keep a name on that.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like him as a starting two. So can we all agree the starting lineup will be Brandon Williams, Dylan Smith, Emmanuel Acott, Ryan Luther, and Chase Jeter as your five. That sounds like a damn good lineup to me.
I mean,
are not look, damn good,
look,
but
look where Arizona was a few months ago. I mean, you got you got to be happy with that as an Arizona fan. Sean Miller's, I mean, got to be kicking count back him. With a beer. I mean, yeah, count his blessings for the class he was able to bring in, because there was a time where they were very worried about it. And he has a lot of work to do. It's not as impressive as classes they've had in the past, but there's a lot of names here. He has a lot of pieces to work with. Again, the big thing this year is Sean Miller is going to have to coach. He has to develop these players because they're not all five stars like that he's had in the past. He's going to have to develop every single one of his five starters next year. So, look, Sean Miller is going to turn out to be one of the best coaches in the Pac-12, or he's going to turn out to be middle of pack. And I think Arizona will go as far as Sean Miller can coach these guys next year.
Shout out to our assistant sports editor, Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
He's
probably sitting in there chowing down on canes right now.
He always recites a very popular Trinidad James song, All Gold Everything. Mama always told me, boy, count your blessings. Count them up.
Count them up. If you're Sean, that's Sean Miller's theme song next year. You should run out all to that everything. Song. Yeah.
All right. Well, that will do it for another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or download the free Wildcaster app. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and follow us on Instagram.
Hey, your boy Justin Spears is going to be in Las Vegas at the Summer League action this year.
I will be.
This week. Follow him at Justin E Sports on Twitter and at the Wildcaster. We're gonna have all the good goods. Yep, all the goods. He'll be hopping around from all the games up there. Again, 5-6, I think, with Kadeem Allen. Wildcats in action in Las Vegas this week. So don't forget to follow Justin and the Wildcaster.
Gonna be flooding your timelines, so get used to it.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, thanks for listening.